Once again, in the book of Ephesians tonight, chapter 4, verses 11 through 32, we're going to look at three things: calm steadfastness, clear separation, and Christ-like standards, as Paul continues the narrative to the Ephesian Christians and to you and to me today. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, what we are going to be looking at here as he speaks, Paul says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And then whenever we come to verses 25 and following, I want us to look at that. But in particular tonight, verses 17 to verse 32, where Paul says, as he reminds the Ephesian Christians of what their lives once were before they met Christ, and he shares a lot of things there that their character displayed when they were in darkness, when they had not received the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they walked in their lewdness and all of the ways of immoral debauchery, and all of those things were part of the culture of that ancient world there in the city of Ephesians. He speaks in verse 18 there, back up in verse 17, in the futility of their mind. He speaks about this worldview that the world has tonight. It's futile. The futility of the mind. He's speaking about a person that has not received Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and the futility of it all. When Rick sang a few moments ago about we're like a flower of the field, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow. You see, that's the real issue of life. So he comes to us asking us to test ourselves, to examine ourselves, who we are in Christ Jesus. This I say, verse 17, therefore. In other words, because of everything that he said in the first 16 verses, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Who were the Gentiles? They were anyone that weren't Jews. They were these that were living outside of having Christ in their life. He said, in the futility of their mind, that's how they were walking, having their understanding darkened. And then he speaks about being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So he speaks here about the mind. It's a mind problem when people do not receive the truth of what Christ is all about. It's also a heart problem. Many of you have your cardiologist. A cardiologist is a specialist who deals with the heart. The Greek term cardio, cardiognosis, means the great heart knower. And Christ knows the human heart. And he sees those who are who have disengaged their mind to accepting the truth, to those that have been darkened by the ways of the world and the worldview that is out there. They've alienated themselves from the life of God. And notice in verse 18, he uses the phrase, because of the ignorance that is in them. Speaking about their ignorance, he's not referring to their knowledge, but to the knowledge that they are ignorant of about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks about the blindness of their heart. I read this past week, there are some 7.5 billion people presently in the world today. Somebody has calculated since the time of Adam that there have been, I forget the exact number that someone calculated, the probability of how many millions of people have lived in this world. But as Rick Song says, their lives were like a flower of the field. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Presently in the world tonight, some 7.5 billion people that are in the world today. Now, some 2.5 or 6 billion people all over the world profess to be Christians. And if you subtracted that from, let's say, 7.5 to 2.5, you can see very readily that some 4 to 5 billion people in the world, two-thirds of the world, does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they may be involved in some religion out there. They may be involved in some cultic practice or some worship out there that they think is truth. And according to this scripture, Paul says they're ignorant of the fact because of the blindness of the heart. And then in verse 19, he says, who being past feeling. In other words, they have so seared their hearts, conscience, that they are past feeling. In other words, have you ever gone and witnessed to somebody and there was such a coldness that you immediately sense the coldness of their heart, past feeling? And I think there are a lot of people out there in the world tonight that fit into the category. They're just past feeling. You know, they're not interested. They have rejected, and then, therefore, they're past feeling. He said, have given themselves over to lewdness. One of the six things that I mentioned, I believe it was a week ago today, of sure signs of the end of times is the prolificness, the intensity, the growingness of sexual immorality. And of course, it's always been around since the beginning of time. It's been around since the book of Genesis. But the intensity to which it is celebrated on the television, you see it in commercials on the TV. Everything that would be contrary to biblical thought on sexual purity. And so we see this. He speaks about those that have given themselves over to, pardon me, to this kind of a lifestyle, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And of course, the world is filled with greediness. We know that. The world is basically a swampland, and it's filled with all kinds. If any of you have ever seen the show on television, American Greed, well, Bernie Madoff would be a prime example of all the millions and millions and millions of people that he absconded through financial investing of their money, and then took it and lived life in a very lavish lifestyle. Of course, he's behind bars tonight because of that. But you can see the world that we live in is so unseemly in all facets of life. Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ. He's speaking of these that have not put on Christ. And then he says in verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul very plainly states, there's where you'll find truth. You won't find it in the worldview of this world, I can assure you of that. But you'll find truth in none other than the one who is truth. And then verse 22, that you put off. Now what he's going to ask us here, he moves from this calm steadfastness that you and I ought to be as a believer. We need to be different. He moves to this clear separation of being discerning, letting Christ be the example, letting Christ be the educator. And so he speaks about those that have not trusted Christ, that they are clearly separated from the works of darkness. They are separated from the walk. And he said, in Christ, he said, put off. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then he says, so as a Christian, we're to put off that. We have a new conduct. And then he says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, how are we renewed in the spirit of our mind? We are renewed through the Word. It's the Word of God that renews us. It's the Word of God that brings encouragement to us. Any of y'all feel discouraged? Any of y'all ever been discouraged? You know, I learned a long time ago, somebody said to me many, many years ago, Pastor, you may feel discouraged. You may feel defeated at times, but don't ever let it show in the pulpit. And you know what? I really try to do that. I try to not let my discouragement show because I think discouragement is contagious. And I think it's one of the things that the devil uses in churches to discourage people. And so, it's very discouraging. What do you do about masks, non-masks? Someone sent me a text today where some church in our city, now that so many people have contracted it, they've had to shut the doors now. To all be quarantined. You know, there's no easy answers to this thing. It's a complex issue. And, some have said, well, could we have people with masks set on one side, people without masks on one side? But here's the deal with that. Then people are going to be upset because you forced them where to sit. So, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no easy anything. I think we just got to feel our way through these times. But I say all that to say this. Do you ever feel discouraged? Do you ever feel that your back's up against the wall? Did you ever feel that you were out there hanging like a dangling participle? For those of you that remember English grammar. You know, sometimes in life you have to dangle as the dangling participle and you have to do it alone. Other than to know Christ is always there. And as long as he's the great cardiognosis and knows the heart, that's what's important. Because everybody has an opinion. And we see that in the news media every day. Paul speaks about the conduct of how we as Christians ought to act. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so he comes in these verses very succinctly, and he tells us about the old way of life versus the new way of life. And as Christians, I think that one of the things that people look at us and mark us by, it's the way we respond. It's the way we react. that people look at and determine, do I want to go to church? Do I not want to go to church? Down through the years in trying to get people to church, I've said many times, and they'll say, let me just give you a story about so-and-so. And they'll say, I'm just as well off as they are. And if they're going to heaven, I'm sure I'm going to get there. Well, I understand what they're saying. I get it, that a lot of our behavior oftentimes is not comely of what Christ would do, how Christ would be, what Christ would say. And that's why the Bible says, be on guard, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion who walks around seeking whom he may devour. I believe that's why Paul is saying here to renew your mind. If you're not renewing your mind through the Word of God, it's going to be easy to become susceptible to Satan coming and defeat you, discourage you, or to cause you to get into the flesh and to respond in some way that becomes offensive. And other people will say, that ain't the behavior of a Christian according to what I read in the Bible. So I think that we as Christians, when he says put off this kind of lifestyle, be renewed, and then in verse 24, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's why I say sanctification. It's the ongoing process of you and I growing and maturing in our faith. Sanctification is a part of salvation that continues for our lifetime until we're like the flower of the field and we're cut off and we die and we fly away. Sanctification is ongoing forever. That's why it's so important as we look in verse 25 that Paul says, therefore, because of all of these past 4.5 chapters, therefore putting away lying. I've never heard so much in all of my life on the news media. Lie, lie, lie. Sometimes I don't know who's truthful and who's lying. I don't know. Because as I said this morning, I don't know who the true fact checkers are to check the fact checkers. And I have to, that's kind of hard to say. But Noah, he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. And folks, doesn't the truth sometimes hurt? I mean, none of us, I don't think, like to feel any kind of correction. But yet, when you get into the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit doesn't bring the correction, then we're all in trouble. Amen? But that's one of the operations of the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth, to correct us and reprove us when we're wrong, to expose the human heart to what is not godly. And so he says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And then he says in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Now, what he is not propagating that all of us be angry. But what he's saying is, when you are angry, be angry for the right reasons. Be angry for the right things. There are things in our world that should anger us as Christians, that would be righteous indignation, and it would be trying to propagate things out there in the world that would be contrary to the Word of God. And so be angry, but notice he says, and do not sin. What does he mean? How can I be angry and not sin? Well, if you're doing it at the right time for the right reason, then he's speaking Jesus. When he went into the temple court and saw the money changers, and Jesus turned over the tables of all the money that was being exchanged as they were extorting. You talk about greed, ancient greed. they were destroying people's lives because they were inflating the prices of those sacrificial animals that they would bring to the temple area. And so Jesus was angry about that because he realized the burden it was placing upon people that was not right. And Jesus had righteous indignation there. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Throughout the years, I've counseled many, many people, and suddenly a spouse died or a child died, and a parent could not live with the guilt they felt because they never were able to say, "I'm sorry." They were never, and I think that is something that everybody ought to be keenly aware of. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Proverbs says 27:1, boast not about tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You may never have tomorrow to make it right with your loved one with stuff you did and said that you did out of your flesh and not out of the love of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Whenever we walk in the power of the flesh versus the Holy Spirit controlling, filling us, moving us with all truth and with what we speak, you see, if we are in the power of the flesh, we are giving the devil opportunity to use us in such a way that you may never be able to repair the damage that is done. I found out in life there are those personalities out there that regardless of what you say, regardless of what you do, they're wounded for a lifetime. I remember in some of my counseling down through the years, people that I've dealt with, they have been wounded. They're in their 70s. They were wounded when they were a child at home. They never got over it. Don't give the place to the devil, or don't give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. In other words, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, so that old life that you lived, don't go out and do the things that you once did. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. You and I live in the world today. It's called a give me, give me, give me, give me, give me world. A lot of people don't want to work for food. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And so we live in some very changing times. Verse 29 hits where Hollywood loves. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let me tell you, if we ever lived in a world today that's filled with cursing and blaspheming and words that were never spoken during some of your days, they are the main words that are used in television programs all the time. They are used among people every day, and they say those words as if they just pour out of their mouths. Any of y'all know? Have any of y'all ever seen that? Any of y'all experienced that? Paul says now to the Ephesians, now that you've put on a new creation in Christ Jesus, then he said these things that once were a part of your darkened lives and hearts need to be renewed, and these are things to put off, and these are things to put on. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do we grieve him? When we do not do what Scripture says, when we are not obedient, when we're supposed to be renewing our minds day by day, taking in the Word of God. And then in verse 31, obviously this was a great problem in the ancient world as it is today. Let all bitterness, Wrath. Wrath is anger that's seizing within you, boiling up. Anger, getting angry at somebody. The word clamor there is commotion or turmoil. He goes through this catalog and he says, "An evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And malice is just something that continually grows and builds and sees and until it is explosive. And then notice verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I think, when we did our sermon series of some 12, 14 weeks on forgiveness, we referred to this verse several times during that series. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If we're not willing to forgive, then we're in deep trouble, I think, with God. Because he very plainly tells us, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm not going to tell you forgiveness is easy. I don't think it is. I think it's a real test. I think it's a real hard thing, because if you've been wounded, you know, blessed are the wounded, because the world's filled with them. And if you've ever been wounded by someone, you know, you still, according to Scripture, are to forgive. To forgive. You know, and people say, "Well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget." Well, maybe so. Maybe you didn't ever forgive. You know, Paul said putting those things in the rearview mirror, forgetting that which is behind. I really believe with all my heart that one of the things that the devil is using against Christians today is this. We are either living in the past with regret, with hurt, with disappointment, with anger, with bitterness, or we're living in the future, and very few people, I really believe, live in the present. Think about it in your own life. Are you grieving over joys departed? The song says, "Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus." He is a friend that's well known. I think in the world that you and I live in today, as time grows closer to the end of time, I think the intensity of all of these things are really going to be a great test to us as Christians. How do we live? How do we conduct ourselves? Will I be a blessing to others? Will I be a hindrance to others? I think all of these things are major challenges in our life. And I think that what we have to do is to try to please and satisfy Jesus, because you will not please everybody else. If you've got 10 people, you've got 10 different opinions. If you've got 5 doctors out there, probably 4 of them are going to disagree with each other. I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know if it's a pride thing. It's probably all of those things. But you will even find, oftentimes, many have said to me, "Well, I told my doctor I wanted a second opinion and it made him mad." Any of y'all ever been there? So it's a cruel world. But you and I are supposed to be light, to dispel darkness. And with all that we see, that's hard to do. We're really in a school every day of our lives as a Christian to determine our sanctification. Are we maturing? Are we growing? Or are we regressing and grieving the Holy Spirit of the living God? Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Looks like we're all home folks. I appreciate y'all being here. And would you just stand? Let's pray. And please be safe driving out the parking lot, okay? Father, thank you for tonight. Bless us as we go. Return us back on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, Amen.